Here are the highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. Visit freetalklive.com for the full episode.
In the news a couple of weeks ago, and you probably heard this, but as I predicted, the Federal Appeals Court has reinstated Biden's vaccine mandate for private businesses with more than, 100 employees or something like that. And I specifically wanted you to be here for it because you were the one celebrating the court decision that initially had put a stay on it.
And they're appealing it to the Ninth Circuit Appeal Court.
This was the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals, so you wouldn't be able to appeal to the Ninth. They're going to the Supreme Court at this point.
Well, so, that side of it is moving it to the Supreme Court, but it's also being appealed in the Ninth Circuit Court now.
Oh, so there's a different case that's running as well?
Right. None of this is appealing to me.
So, at the moment, it's still something that you have no legal obligation to follow.
Well, I don't think you would have a legal obligation to follow anything these people say.
Legal obligation? You just don't respect a legal obligation because they're immoral legal obligations.
That's right, yeah. I don't think people should obey these people. I don't think that they should do what they're told. And that's really the reason why we're in the position we're in today, where all these companies just do everything that the government wants them to do, and so that's why we've got tyranny.
All of the rights that one has to a corporation, you already have to your name. I mean, your name is a form of intellectual property that you have the recognized rights over. I mean, that's part of the whole thing with the birth certificate is that you own that name. So if I go around, for example, if I say Ian Freeman said X, Y, and Z, like that is considered slander because I am misusing your property. I don't have the right to do that.
I think that if you went into a bank and tried to cash a check for Peakless Mountaineer climbing or whatever, I don't think they would take it.
Well, that's not what's on my birth certificate. But if I used the last name that's on my birth certificate.
I know. I wasn't using your name. But if you were to use your name and then some other, words after that, I think they would tell you, you got to have a trade name, that you have to have a corporation. There has to be a business account opened in order to take that check. Banks are not, it's not like they were 20 years ago before, before 9/11.
You could also just skip that entirely. You could get the app on your phone that runs credit cards and just run their card yourself.
Conducting business, but then you have to have something behind that that's like a PayPal or something like that.
A lot of these companies that would otherwise, before the Patriot Act, for instance, have provided you with financial services, they won't do what they used to do before. I remember when I first moved here to New Hampshire, I was able to get a bank. I think it was TD Bank, so like a big, corporate bank. I was able to get them to put a DBA on an account just by telling them. It's called a doing business as. Yeah. So you can be Peakless Mountaineer or whatever your real name is, doing business as, then whatever the name of the thing is that you're doing business as. So it could be a completely different name, not even...
example, I could use my... I could be my real name, doing business as Peakless Mountaineer.
Right. This is very common in franchises. So, it's Bob Smith's, restaurant company, doing business as McDonald's, doing business as Wendy's, doing business as, insert restaurant name here.
Mm. Right. And I was able to just go in there. I had already had a, personal account. And so I was like, hey, what do I got to do to, add a DBA, as they call it, doing business as this account? Oh, yeah, just tell us what it is. And then they added that to the account, and then I could take a check. In this case, it was for Free Talk Live, because Free Talk Live has never been incorporated. Right. There's no incorporation for Free Talk Live, so I'm That's totally awesome. With you on this. Back then, all you had to do was just ask for it.
And the belief is that if you do incorporate your business, that you gain some legal protections for liability and things of that nature, which those do kind of exist when you incorporate, but do they apply? Right. But just because they exist doesn't mean they necessarily apply to your business model, or what it is you're trying to sell or service.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, unless you're a politically connected individual, then there's no guarantee that any of that stuff's going to apply because they can do what they call pierce the corporate veil, which is what they did to those guys that had The dudes in New Jersey, Belmar, New Jersey, they were making headlines in 2020, and they're still, you know, amazing activists. But they had this gym. Mm-hmm. It was called the Attilus Gym.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And they were opening up during the COVID lockdown. I mean, New Jersey's a crazy, you know, total statist hellhole. And so the lockdown was pretty intense there, and these dudes opened up their doors anyway. They said, come on in, we're going to have our members in here, you know, members only or whatever. You want to be a member? Sure, here's the form to fill out. We're going to keep letting our members do their workouts here. And the government came in, they arrested these guys, they boarded up their windows. These dudes kicked in the boards on the doors, you know, that were trying to block people from coming in. There was this just ongoing nightmare that these people were facing, but they did it, and what ended up happening was they just kept on opening up.
Did you guys hear that they've released the names on the Lori list for New Hampshire?
Really?
Yeah. We have to explain what that is. The Lori list has, until this week, been a secret list that the state of New Hampshire has been, I don't know how many decades they've had it for, but they've had it for a while, that it lists police officers who are allegedly less than honest in their dealings with the people. And this is a list that the Attorney General has been very protective of for some time. It has never been released publicly until now. And from what I understand, they've redacted some information from it. But there are something like 90 different names of ostensibly bad cops.
So this popped up in one of our chats, and it says the AG releases 90 names on the dishonest police list. And I read through it, and the thing that stood out to me was there were only 90 names released, but there were 281 names on the list when the law went into effect.
Oh, interesting.
So
they cleaned it up.
Roughly one-third have been released. The reason that only one-third have been released is because apparently the state gives whoever's names are on the list an opportunity to sort of battle against it. I don't know if it's similar to a court thing where but they can submit evidence that says, oh, hey, I shouldn't be on this list because, you know, I didn't mean to punch that guy in the face or something, you know, whatever they're accused of doing.
Now, Robert, were you saying that the commissioner that was not giving out this list originally is one of the names that was on this list?
Yeah, it says at the top of the page, it says Rochester Police Commissioner.
Well, that explains why he didn't want to give it out, I guess.
Right. But this particular news article, you know, has posted in their webpage here the list of all of the officers, you know, that were taken out. In other words, this is the original list that it came out. But when attorneys called the Attorney General's office and said, hey, look, you're going to redact these names. Well, this particular news outlet was smart enough to where they copied and they saved that original, you know, list of officers' names it got redacted.
Really? Okay. I'm curious to see what the full list is, because the only one I've seen was the 90 names.
And so, in my opinion, of course, this type of a thing comes out and it's like, okay, we're going to release a list of all the police that, you know, are, you know, doing bad things. And I'm like, well, then you should just publish the list of all the police, right?
The title of the article is How Dr. Fauci and Other Officials Withheld Information on China's Coronavirus Experiments. And it's a long one, but it is absolutely worth a read. But, all right. So first it talks about how the Freedom of Information Act requests show that the National Institute of Health was funding research at the Wuhan lab, in spite of the fact that Fauci claimed that they weren't.
Mm-hmm. Let's remind you also that this is the same guy who funded research that put dogs into areas in which there were a bunch of sand flies that were then eating the dogs, and they'd like stricken the dogs from their vocal cords somehow so they couldn't call out.
Yeah, so the dogs were effectively screaming out. It's just that they severed their vocal cords, so it's not to annoy the people.
Mm-hmm. Right. So, I mean, this is the kind of sicko that we're talking about here.
Well, this is also the kind of sicko that kept drugs that would have helped AIDS patients.
Yeah, AZT.
The article continues that while Dr. Fauci takes the political heat, the revelations center on another figure in this drama. Peter Daszak, D-A-S-Z-A-K, president of the private research firm EcoHealth Alliance, which received $3 million NIH grant for coronavirus research and subcontracted the gain-of-function experiments to the Wuhan lab.
So, middleman.
Yes, mm-hmm. And what a middleman he was. Mm. Like, he is intimately involved in all of this. He's receiving millions of dollars from of government money to mm-hmm. do this research in China. The activities of Daszak and EcoHealth before the pandemic and during it show a startling lack of transparency about their work with coronaviruses and raise questions about what more there may be to learn.
EcoHealth, I mean, who could be against that? Ecological right. health? I mean, this is always good things, right?
Well, and this absolutely points to what a lot of us are seeing on the horizon, is that all of these measures that are currently being taken to protect our health,
quote-unquote,
right, will be taken to protect the environment.
Yep. Yeah, they're also already telegraphing unquote. It.
Mm-hmm.
They're already, we mentioned this just the other day, there have already been news stories out saying, I forget who the source of it was, but, you know, some government agency. Oh, yeah, if we can lock people down like we did with COVID once a year or once every couple of years for 3 months or whatever, then that'll help the environment.
From the start, Daszak has worked vigorously to discredit any notion that the pandemic might have been or could have been caused. Could have been the result of a lab accident when the media was first.
It's not an accident if you do it on purpose.
when the media was first grappling with the basics of the situation, Daszak organized a letter in the prestigious medical journal The Lancet from 27 scientists to, quote, strongly condemn conspiracy theories suggesting that COVID-19 does not have a natural origin, unquote, and got himself appointed to the World Health Organization team investigating COVID origins, where he successfully argued that there was no need to look into the Wuhan Institute of Virology's archives.
So when this COVID thing first started hitting the television screens, the news cycle and all that kind of stuff, the speculation was all over this. They're like, oh, yeah, it came from Wuhan. Of course it came out of this lab and, like, it started infecting, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then, no, that's not. And now it's like, oh, yeah, it did.
Yeah, I mean, we are experiencing a rapid version of what I have grown long accustomed to, where, like, sure, in little basements across the country, we will be talking about things like, yeah, you know, they can turn on your camera without even having the little light go on.
Yep.
And, you know, if someone outside that basement heard you, they'd be like, psh, conspiracy theorist.
Mm-hmm. Medical tyranny takes a whole different flavor to tyranny than the industrial complex form of tyranny, right? And I go back to my godfather, George Carlin. He's not really my godfather. I think he's my spirit animal. I go back to him, and he says, you know, when tyranny comes to the United States, it's going to be dressed in smiley faces and Nike sneakers. It's not going to look like it did in Nazi Germany or in the gulags or in Soviet Russia. It's going to look different, but it's coming.
And I think what you might be struggling with is I think you're giving them more credit than they deserve in terms of how powerful they are. I mean, when you are trying to create a super virus, you are struggling against an extraordinary system in the human immunity. I mean, it's just not that easy to create that enormous of a bioweapon.
And then let's also consider the Hegelian dialectic. Here, it's that, okay, suddenly they've made these, we'll call them vaccines for lack of a better word, and they're maybe kind of effective, nobody really knows, but all the side effects that are happening from them are treatable by drugs that these drug manufacturers just happen to have.
Unless you die.
Well, now, of course.
If I may interject for a click, does anyone remember the videos from January 2020 of the people running down the street in hazmat suits in Wuhan, spraying down the streets with chemicals?
Yes. Have you guys ever heard of oligotechnology? O-L-I-G-O? And it's concerning vitamin absorption.
No, I have never heard of this. What is it?
Doesn't that literally mean evil technology?
Hmm.
But what is that, Greek or Latin? What do you know about that? Is that do you know the root word? It's actually a technology. They got a patent on this. But what they do is they wrap the vitamins with the protein and fiber molecule, and that does help with the absorption into the body. And as far as I'm concerned, I think it does work. It is effective.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry. I was mistaking oligopoly for cacistocracy.
Oligo means few or little.
Yeah. Oligopoly is ruled by very few. Cacistocracy is ruled by the evil. So sorry about that.
They claim it's patented the way they bind minerals to organic compounds. Oligofructose complex to mirror the way they are naturally found in plants. The result, oligo minerals are scientifically proven to provide up to 4 times greater absorption than the minerals in leading grocery store brands. So they're doing something to, you know, give a little uptick in vitamin absorption.
So if your weakness is caused by vitamin deficiency, then taking vitamins will be the solution to being weak.
Wow. Oh, there you go, Sarah. You've actually got a pill you can pop that'll make you strong. How about that?
If you're vitamin deficient.
I've also tried their St. John's Wort. Their St. John's Wort is got this oligo technology, and I could really feel it. All the St. John's Wort I've ever tried, I never felt any happier. I never felt any different. It was just a waste of money. But with this thing, I was feeling happier. My mood was changing, and it's very powerful. And I think this company, they have about 40 patents, I'm sure.
Well, or maybe all of these corporations that are in this particular field, you know, some of them are pretty scammy. Others, they may actually have a legitimate product. They may actually have legitimate technology. But the question is, have there been any independent studies done on this stuff, or has it all been commissioned by the corporation?
Well, and with this particular company, they don't disclose their prices until after you've created an account.
Oh, nice.
They have a disclaimer that says, located in terms of use, Melaleuca states that it does not warrant the accuracy and completeness of the materials at this site. Melaleuca may make changes to the materials at this site or to the products and prices described in them at any time without notice. The materials at this site may be out of date, and Melaleuca makes no commitment to update the materials at this site.
Being in government means never having to say you're sorry.
Well, kind of reminds me of legislators that knowingly pass unconstitutional laws that the courts eventually, after someone can prove that they have actually lost something, so they don't get thrown out of court, and they go through all of the whole thing and say, oh, yep, that was an unconstitutional law, which the law doesn't even get removed at that point.
Correct.
And it certainly doesn't ever come back to the person who passed a law against the Constitution, giving them the authority to pass laws.
They don't even get removed from office, let alone charged with anything.
Right. Which, sounds to me like that is literally a conspiracy.
It is.
Let's get back to Fauci, where there's definitely a conspiracy going on.
Indeed.
More than one, it seems
Indeed.
Like. What else did you want to share from the Newsweek story about his skullduggery?
What Dajak didn't reveal at the time was that the Wuhan Institute of Virology had been using the NIH grant money to genetically engineer dozens of novel coronaviruses discovered in bat samples, and that he knew it was entirely possible that one of those samples had contained SARS-CoV-2 and had infected a researcher, as he conceded to the journal Science in a November 17th interview.
Sounds like a smoking gun of sorts.
Yeah.
Both experiments seem to cross the gain-of-function line, and in his reply, Dajak argued that because the new spikes being added to the chimeras were more distantly related to SARS and MERS than their original spikes, he didn't anticipate any enhanced pathogenicity or infectiousness.
Okay.
He offered that if any of the chimeric viruses began to grow 10 times better than their natural viruses, which would suggest enhanced fitness, EcoHealth would immediately stop all experiments, inform the NIH program officers, and together they'd figure out what to do next.
Apparently they're figuring that out. Lock people down, destroy their liberties.
Well, to their surprise, the SARS-like chimeras quickly grew 10,000 times better than the natural virus, flourishing in the lab's humanized mice and making them sicker than the original. They had all the hallmarks of a very dangerous pathogen. And the Wuhan Institute of Virology and EcoHealth did not stop the experiment as required, nor did they let the NIH know what was going on. The results were buried in Figure 35 of EcoHealth's Year 4 Progress Report delivered in April 2018.
Are you guys familiar with Star Trek? The trouble with tribbles specifically?
Yeah, vaguely. Yeah, I think
these little furry creatures, and they just start multiplying until they overwhelm everybody and everything. That's what this sounds like.
Yep. For years, scientists had known that adding a special type of cleavage site, quote unquote, to the spike could supercharge a virus's transmissibility. Although many viruses in nature have such sites, neither SARS nor any of its cousins do. EcoHealth proposed incorporating human-optimized cleavage sites into the SARS-like viruses it discovered and testing their infectiousness. Such a cleavage site, of course, is exactly what makes SARS-CoV-2 wildly more infectious than its kin. That detail was the reason some of the scientists initially suspected SARS-CoV-2 might have been engineered in a lab. And while there's no proof that EcoHealth or the Wuhan Institute of Virology ever actively experimented with cleavage sites, and EcoHealth says that the research was never conducted, the proposal makes it clear that they were considering that step as early as 2018.
And that was in their proposal to DARPA.
And the NIH and EcoHealth have asserted that none of the engineered viruses created with the grant could have become SARS-CoV-2. On that, everyone agrees. The viruses are too distantly related. But the detailed recipe in the DARPA application is a blueprint for doing just that with a more closely related virus.
Well, I mean, the government agency would never lie, so obviously we should totally believe what they're saying here.
This is from Disclose.tv. 3D printed suicide pods are now legal in Switzerland.
All right.
And so I read this headline. I'm like, all right, I have to check out this article because, like, are there regular suicide pods that are legal?
There must be.
You know, was it just the 3D printed ones? And why Switzerland? And, like, so many questions. A 3D printed capsule is set to revolutionize assisted suicide. They put quotations around the word revolutionize. It may be legally operated in Switzerland. This is according to an expert opinion obtained by Exit International, the organization that developed the Sarco machine. I don't know what that is. And was first reported by Swiss Info. In 2020, around 1,300 people died in Switzerland through euthanasia. They were cared for by the two largest euthanasia organizations in the country, Exit, no connection to Exit International, and Dignitas, D-I-G-N-I-T-A-S.
How do euthanasia kill so many people?
Not youth in Asia, euthanasia.
Oh, that.
It was a great Megadeth album.
It was, actually, as a matter of fact.
I think they spelled it differently, though.
No, actually, I think they spelled it the same way.
But really?
Yeah, I believe so.
I don't think
they spell Megadeth differently.
Yeah,
M-E-G-A-D-E-T-H.
No, they spell it differently. They spelled it Y-O-U-T-H.
Oh, that's right. They put the word youth in the front. You're right. I just want to mention that if you or someone you know is struggling with depression or has had thoughts of harming themselves or taking their own life and they want to get help, the National Suicide Prevention Hotline is 1-800-273-8255 24/7, and it's free.
Or if you've made up your mind, you can just go download the plans for the suicide pod and print it out. Now, do you have to have like a really large 3D printer, I imagine, like an industrial size 3D printer for this?
No, I would imagine that you could just piece this together, you know, in sort of a, you know, a part piece by piece fashion.
Yeah.
You know, Lego style, if you will, Lincoln Logs, something, you know, but like more advanced.
I mean, this is fascinating. You called it dystopian. But...
Well, I mean, it simultaneously reminds me of Children of Men.
Yeah.
And of Futurama.
Tell me more about that. So I've seen Futurama here and there. Children of Men is a movie.
The very first Futurama episode strongly features a suicide booth.
Oh, okay.
Children of Men is a movie where women can no longer become pregnant.
Huh.
And except for this one. Except for this one woman who can or does and And then the movie is about, you know, how does that occur? How do they keep, you know, other people from, you know, something like this were to happen? Like, they're going to get mobbed if they find out. And there's a war going on, too, so it's all very... I'm not going to spoil it for anybody else who hasn't seen the movie.
Yeah, but part of it involves a... like, it becomes socially normalized to buy suicide pills.
The poor misguided Sarah from New Mexico. Now, I already told her that Trotsky was a... His name's Leonard Trotsky, so she could look it up. Was right up there with Stalin, and he was right up there with Lenin. They didn't like him. Because he says, you guys aren't doing a revolution right. And he went to Mexico, and they had him executed. He got an axe to the back of his head.
Oof.
That, yeah, that's true. You can look it up. But it's public record. Then, with, what's his name, Castro?
Mm-hmm.
His number one man, he was from Venezuela, a doctor, Che Guevara. He told Castro the same thing. He said, look, you're exploiting the people just like Batista was. You're supposed to get down here because he was right in the factories helping the people and stuff like that. Castro said, oh, you are a great leader for the communist revolution. I'm sending you to Bolivia with 8 men, and I want you to conquer Bolivia. Well, naturally, they were killed. That's what a communist will do. Now, here's the key thing. Historians say, now, you know how bad Hitler is? They say he was responsible for 15 million deaths. Number one was Mao Zedong. They say he's responsible for over 100 million deaths.
Mm-hmm. I honestly go back and forth on the Norse belief that, their belief was that your time of death is absolutely written in stone. There's right. nothing that you can do to bring it any faster or any later. And, you know, under that, if you, you know, print one of these out and you hook it up and, you know, it just doesn't work...
It wasn't your
time to go, which made them incredibly fierce in battle because you were indestructible and, well, immortal until it's time to go. And I honestly go back and forth on that, having heard so many stories about people failing to kill themselves in a various number of ways.
Well, and that's a great segue because traditional forms of suicide have detrimental effects to those who fail. Jumping off of a building, for example.
Someone's got to clean it up.
There's the cleanliness factor, right? Somebody's got to clean it and deal with it. And, you know, what did he have? You know, is he contagious with something? You know, all this kind of stuff plays into that. But also there are people who try and fail. And they're left either disfigured or in a wheelchair
brain damaged.
Or, you know, this. And they survive, but in what sort of quality of life?
Yeah, so, it's sad.
So this is what I mean by benefits of the suicide pod. Like, it's clean.
Except that by depriving your brain of oxygen, if you do manage to survive, you can end up with long-term brain damage and still not be dead.
You just heard highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. You can download full episodes, subscribe to our podcast, listen live, and more, all for free at freetalklive.com.